Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
TikTok. And here's China creeping into the picture again. Is it time to delete TikTok from your personal online devices? After the federal government's announcement, it is banning the app from government-issued mobile phones and devices. And how do we best protect ourselves online? Where are the threats most prevalent to casual online users? And how are they disguised? Mike Agarbo joins us, digital media expert and host of The App Show on Chorus Radio and Global TV News. Mike has been reporting on breaking technology to us for nearly 20 years. And you can go to getconnectedmedia.com. Mike, I'm sounding the way I'm sounding because I broke my own rule and I ate just before I went on the air. And I got this humongous peanut stuck in my throat. And it doesn't want to go down and it doesn't want to come out.
Rookie move.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. It's awful. And I've probably drunk about 3 bottles of water in the last 15 minutes. And all that's doing is drowning me. Anyway, is TikTok a threat? And here we go. Is it another example of China's interference in another nation's domestic affairs?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a loaded question. TikTok, like most of the other social media apps like the Facebooks, Instagrams, Twitters of the world, they collect a lot of information about the users. And you have to realize that as a user, if something is free, you are basically the product. They're making money off you and your data. So when you look at TikTok and, the overall terms of service, which no one reads because there's literally hundreds of pages of it, but you're agreeing to a whole bunch of things. You're giving access to your personal data like contacts, calendars, information about what device you're using, the operating system, location, and it also monitors the different types of content you engage in for how long. And TikTok takes it another step forward. They also monitor things like keystroke patterns or rhythms, the battery state, audio settings, and connected audio devices as well. And I think what the governments are concerned about is just how precise it is with monitoring things like the user's GPS location, where they physically are when they are using the app.
So has something changed then as far as TikTok is concerned to make this the time the federal government makes the announcement that they're banning it from government-issued phones and other devices?
Well, I think it was even worse before, but the fact that all these political tensions are happening with China right now, I think this is just kind of another nail in the coffin for a lot of the governments. They don't want this information going back to China. TikTok, has kind of broken itself up. Any of the apps being used outside of China have their information theoretically located on servers in those particular countries. So, for example, in the U.S., that U.S. data is located on servers in United States, I think Singapore as well. And the idea is that the Chinese parent company is not supposed to be able to access that data. But we've seen in leaks, I think BuzzFeed reported on this, ByteDance employees, which is the parent company of TikTok, they have had access to that data as late as of last year. So it looks like that data potentially still could go back.
Okay, so now Canadians, hey, it's coming back. Canadians who also want TikTok off their phones, I've heard that this could be a problem if the TikTok app is deleted. And I've seen emails and I've seen tweets from people expressing that concern. Is that valid?
From an aggregate standpoint, I wouldn't be overly concerned as just kind of a general user. I can see government and military being concerned because obviously, there would be the potential to actually drill down to specific users. One of the issues that, apparently not supposed to happen anymore, the Chinese version of TikTok actually collects the MAC address of the device that it's being used on as well. The MAC address is kind of like the VIN number on a car. So it's like the specific iPhone or Android phone. So that's not supposed to be happening anymore. Apparently there was an issue, I think, a year or two ago that they still were collecting that from Google Android phones, but I think that's been shut down as well. So I can see from a government perspective, yeah, there might be a concern there. For the everyday user, these other social apps are collecting tons of information on you as well.
Okay, so when it comes to basic protection, just looking after ourselves online, and there are so many people who are just casual online users. They just download apps by the dozen and never really quite sure what they do until a story like TikTok pops up and then people have questions. And I received emails from people asking me questions I'm not qualified to answer. But what are the most fundamental basic security steps we should take, Mike, to protect ourselves before we start downloading stuff onto our phones and our devices?
You know, I would do a little bit of homework, but, you know, I guess at the end of the day, you know, if you don't want these apps collecting all this personal information on you, the simplest, and I know it's not a popular answer, is just don't download or use them. You know, essentially, they, if it's free, are using you to monetize, you know, the data that they're collecting from you. I mean, if you're just kind of browsing the internet, you can use some of these web browser plugins like DuckDuckGo and Privacy Badger that kind of mask who the user is and where the data is coming from. But that's not always applicable if you're using, you know, the direct mobile app like TikTok or Facebook for that matter. So, you know, if you're feeling like a bit of weekend reading, you can always go through the terms and services of the app that you're downloading.
A little weekend reading, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, no one's going to do that, essentially. But, you know, you got to also look at, you know, on Android phones, for example, you know, when you do download an app, it's actually, you know, they try to tell you what things that the app is going to be accessing, what data it's going to be accessing, and in most cases, tries to get your permission on that as well. I think Apple is a little bit better. They kind of try to lock that stuff down a bit more. You know, for example, they would never allow any app to access the MAC address of an iPhone, where, you know, that sometimes happens on the Google Android platform.
Okay. So the fundamental advice to the person who has TikTok right now, and they're liking it, and they enjoy it, based on what the government has decided to do, what should the average person do who likes TikTok and has it?
I don't know what to say. Like, they're still going to get all that information out of it. You know what I mean? There's nothing really they can do that's going to prevent that, you know, essentially. So if they don't like that, they delete the app is the bottom line. Right. I still use TikTok all the time. I love it. The algorithm is amazing on how it can kind of just lock in on, you know, the type of taste you have and what kind of content you want. So I find it interesting. The horse has left the barn for me. I already know that all these social media apps are gathering all my information. So I try, you know, not to give as much information or, you know, as little information as possible. You know, when it's asking for things like birthdays and stuff like that, I'll give them the wrong birthday because that's always, you know, something that hackers could, you know, get to try to do identity theft. But, I mean, there's not a heck of a lot I can do.
Yeah. So, Mike, as we look at what's coming our way and all the changes that are happening in the tech world and, you know, for those of us who were born in the days in the era of manual typewriters, this is continuing interesting developments. Tell us what's going on with Volkswagen.
This is a little crazy. This is a story that's happened recently with a carjacking. If you're looking at a lot of these cars now, they are truly connected. They have basically data and cellular connections to them. GM cars have had these for years with their OnStar service that you can subscribe to. Volkswagen has something similar called CarNet, but it didn't really work that well. Apparently, an SUV was carjacked in Chicago, and it was a really bad incident. These carjackers ran over a pregnant woman and took her SUV that still had her 2-year-old child in it. So law enforcement, obviously the first thing they did, knowing that this Volkswagen was a connected car, they phoned Volkswagen and asked for the information, the location information. But because the woman hadn't paid for the subscription, the support service basically said no, that they would have to check to see what they could do about that. So there was a huge lag before law enforcement was finally able to get that information to find that vehicle.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder whether the innovations are outpacing our ability to deal with them. And I had that thought. I was on vacation when the story broke in the New York Times. One of their columnists had had this conversation with this AI bot and was quite, I won't use the word terrified, but he was very concerned with what the bot had suggested to him, like the bot wanted to create some global mayhem, which gets us thinking about artificial intelligence and what the role is going to be, even in the short term, for AI, and whether or not we should be concerned. What's your call on that?
I think we should be concerned. You're seeing how everything is connected now. Like, my vacuum's connected. I bought a fan. Apparently, that can be connected. New stoves are connected. And, of course, cars are going to be as well, because that's just the way that it's all going. And, yeah. You know, for many reasons, it's good, because there's safety factors involved there. But when you bring in the AI, the artificial intelligence in it, how fast that's advancing, and how slow governments and regulators are to kind of regulate all this technology, because in most cases they're more reactive when you look at technology in general. So I'm concerned as these two types of communications, you know, the connected telecommunication bit of it with AI, you know, just where that could go in the future. And you know, if we don't keep a rein on it, it could go badly in some cases.
Yeah, when you've got a bot saying it wants to sow global destruction, that'll get your attention in a big hurry.
Well, I'm concerned too, because robotics are advancing at a fast pace as well, right? You know that the governments are working on these, these robotic soldiers that, you know, obviously have to have some type of AI in their systems. Like, what if that goes wrong?
What if that goes wrong? Yeah, and they decide to switch sides.
It's not a stretch.
No.
to think that.
Now, look, I'm at the stage now. I get to the stage where my phone is pretty well shot. The battery stays charged for a very minimal amount of time, and the phone company is constantly offering me inducements to get a new one.
Of course.
Right? For just another $700 paid over the next 33 years, or we won't charge you anything if you do this and this and this, the new phone idea starts to kind of worm its way into your brain. But you were telling me before we went on the air about concept phones. What's coming our way?
Yeah, every year there's the Mobile World Congress. It happens in Barcelona, Spain, and this is where all the big mobile tech companies and smartphone manufacturers come to show off the latest prototypes. Some interesting stuff. Motorola, it's owned by Lenovo now, which is a Chinese company. You remember the flip phones of years
ago? Oh,
five.
Yes.
Yeah, and they do have a folding screen flip phone that they've been selling, but they've showed off this prototype now of a phone. It looks like a little square screen, but then when you push a button, it basically rolls out, elongates into like kind of a full-size screen smartphone, which is really cool concept. So now you don't have to have this giant phone in your pocket. It can almost be half the size. But then when you want to use the full-size screen, just hit a button and it'll just kind of roll out.
Okay, let me come back. Sorry.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And they were continuing to show off the folding screen phones. They're just getting better and better and making them thinner and thinner now. So I think over the next 5 years, that will probably be the predominant type of phone, like either a rollable or a folding screen phone.
Okay, so for a person like me, who uses the phone essentially to make phone calls, right?
Do you still have a BlackBerry?
I do. I actually do. I have two BlackBerries sitting in front of me.
You should keep them. They might be worth something one day.
And one day. They're both key twos. They're not so bad, are they?
No.
No. I don't hear a lot of ringing endorsement there. Ringing endorsement, you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weak. Just like
Just
like the nuts in my throat. So let's in the minute we have left, I want to ask you again about what's going on with this ransomware, the situation with Indigo. Is this a situation that's getting under control or not?
Well, unfortunately, they were hit by hackers, and ransomware was obviously installed somewhere in their network. They do say that customers' information was not compromised, but unfortunately, all their employee information was compromised. So, the hackers are basically demanding that Indigo pay this ransom, which Indigo has said, no, we're not going to do that, and rightfully so, because that just encourages hackers. But now the hackers say that they're going to release all that employee information. That could be everything from their names, addresses, even financial information out onto the dark web. And I think that was supposed to have happened a couple days ago. So I don't know if it's out there or not yet, but it probably most likely will be.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.